Welcome to All Things in the Name of Love. If you like this show, please like, subscribe, and share. Thanks. Welcome to another episode of All Things in the Name of Love. And today I have with me author, coach, and speaker Nick Prefontaine, who I have the opportunity to connect with on a deeper level. One of the things we were talking about before I press the record button is that you had a remarkable experience of being in a very traumatic snowboarding accident and being told by beings outside of you that you were never going to be fully, healthy and coherent in your body. And I'm intuitively feeling that nothing in you believes what everybody else is telling you. So I want to start with that because I think it's like a basis for this amazing conversation we're going to have.
Absolutely. You're letting the listeners in on a little of our inside talk. I didn't know that was going to be public. No, I'm just kidding. So yeah, no, I'm happy to share, and I'm happy for this opportunity and this platform, Sophia, to be able to share with you and your listeners. So back in 2003, I was at ski club with my friends, and my friends and I had all packed our snowboard gear onto the bus to get ready so we wouldn't miss a precious moment. Once we got to the mountain, waste time getting ready and everything. Mm-hmm. So we got to the mountain, headed straight for the top. And on the way to the top, the chairlift went right over the terrain park where all of the jumps were. Mm-hmm. And it went right over the biggest jump. And as soon as I saw that, I was like, oh yeah, that's has my name all over it. That's what I'm hitting. Also, it was very icy because it had been raining earlier. Mm-hmm. So people were wiping out everywhere. However, that didn't faze us. We were experienced and we knew what we were doing. So I was just excited to hit that jump. So I got to the top, buckled in my snowboard, took a breath of that crisp winter air, and confidently charged towards that jump with all my speed. And going up to the jump, I caught the edge of my snowboard, which threw me off balance. And that's the last thing that I remember.
Wow.
So from the rest of that day, I pieced together what actually happened, which I'm not going to leave your audience on a cliffhanger there. I'll tell you what happened. So I was told that I did go off the jump, and I landed on my head.
Ooh.
Now, also that I wasn't wearing a helmet. And later I learned, one of the things that I learned was that the only protection that my head had was the goggles that I was wearing. And the goggles that I wore, Sophia, were very thick, a lot of padding mm-hmm. on them. So although I wasn't wearing a helmet, I was wearing very thick padded goggles, and I was told that they not only cushion my initial impact, they continue to, as I kept rolling down the mountain and kept hitting my head,
wow.
They kept mysteriously moving to cushion each blow as I rolled down the mountain.
Wow.
The second thing I had to thank, and there's three things from that day that if they didn't break this way, I don't know if I'd be here. Mm-hmm. So the second one was they wanted to, because of the severity of my injuries, bring a helicopter to the mountain to rush me to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't because it was too windy.
Oh, wow.
So they had to send in an ambulance. And out of all the paramedics in the area, there was only one who could intubate right on the spot. And I need, because of the severity of my injuries, I needed that to be able to breathe.
Wow.
And lucky for me, he was one of the paramedics that showed up that day.
Mm-hmm.
The third thing, once I got to the hospital, the doctors came into my room, and I was actually on another show today with my dad. And I was telling the story. I said, Dad, I know what happened, but I have to share for the audience. And he said, actually, it wasn't me. I didn't have anything to do with it. It was your mom.
Wow.
So
okay.
When I was out for the count, I was resting in a coma, unable to communicate with anyone. And they said, just based on the impact alone, I would have been out for 7 to 10 days.
Okay.
However, I had swelling in my brain. So they were worried if I woke up, it would increase the swelling in my brain and then I would die. So it was a partially induced coma. They had to just chill me out. So even though I was in a coma, the doctors didn't think anything of it. They walked to my room and began to share the information with my parents. And my mom said, no, not in front of him, because she understood. And I told my dad, well, I'm giving you credit because it's you. You're a unit, you and mom. So they understood the power of the mind. So they stopped him and said, no, not in front of him. They made the doctors step outside the room. And that's where, when they got outside my room, the doctors shared that, look, he's in a coma. He might not come out. Even if he does come out, there's a good chance that he's not going to be able to walk, talk, or eat on his own ever again. What my parents did, or more accurately, what my mom did, now that I get that correction to my story that I tell, my mom said, okay, thank you. Like, they thanked the doctors for the information and then just went on their way, went along their business, which this allowed me to treat it like any other situation, Sophia. So what this allowed me to do, I didn't know any of that.
Right.
Subconsciously or consciously, I didn't know any of that happened. So I just treated it like any other situation. As soon as about a month after my accident, even though I was in a coma for 3 weeks, I really don't remember a month because, as I said, it was a partially induced coma. So a month after my accident, when I really got my wits about me, it was really very interesting because there were long days for me there at the hospital. I would need help, if you can picture this, getting up. The physical therapist would teach me how to shower again.
Oh, wow.
And I had to learn like basic things, as basic as the water comes before the soap. So I had to do that, how to eat, how to hold a utensil, everything. So I would need help getting ready in the morning, and then I would start my sessions of physical, occupational, and speech therapy, and then after which you broke for lunch. And it was at one of these lunches, I was in a wheelchair because I couldn't walk, so I was in a wheelchair, and I overheard the doctors and my therapist talking to my parents, and I couldn't talk at this point. However, I remember overhearing it. They said, all right, so what do we have to do? And they met with, and that's part of what I'm going to share next, the acronym that I unknowingly used to recover, not only make a full recovery, but run out of the hospital. I heard, what do we have to do to make sure Nick makes a full recovery? Like any parent, what parent wouldn't want that for the child that just suffered a life-threatening injury, a traumatic brain injury? I heard in the back of my head, no, you're going to run out. So then that became our common goal, running out of the hospital. And I made sure to share that with my parents, and then they in turn shared it with all the rest of the staff there, the doctors, the therapists, the nurses, and everything like that. So the acronym that I unknowingly used at the time, and I'll just give you a 10,000 foot view, it's STEP. It's a STEP system. So STEP stands for support. You have to make sure that you have the support of your family and friends around you. It doesn't have to be family, but this is going to have you falling back on relationships that you built prior to your setback.
Mm-hmm.
And then T in the STEP system is trust. You have to trust that once you take your first step, your next step is always going to be available to you. Mm-hmm. Follow it. And you also have to trust that calling that you have inside yourself. So the way I like to interweave this in is I've always been really good at listening to that voice inside. And I mean, I don't say inside, it is inside, but I always say in the back of my head. So mm-hmm. I heard, I heard in the back of my head, no, you're going to run out of the hospital. So mm-hmm. then that became our common goal. But all throughout my life, I've always been good at listening to that voice. And depending on how much time we have, I'll go into a little bit more detail on that later.
Yeah.
But to finish out the STEP system, E is energy. Maintaining your energy allows the body's natural ability to be able to heal itself.
Mm-hmm.
So without your energy, without taking care of yourself, health, diet, exercise, how can you expect to take care of and affect other people, lead them through their trauma mm-hmm. To the other side? And that's where the limitless potential lies. You can't. Because mm-hmm. if you don't have your energy, you're worthless to everyone.
Right, right.
So that's why it's so important in the STEP system to make sure you're maintaining your energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, P is persistence. Persistence, once you've taken your first step, keep getting up every day and taking mm-hmm. your next step, no matter how small. By continuing to move forward every day, you are going to be building an unstoppable momentum. And I'm not saying that I was superhuman, and I never took a break to rest and recover. However, at the initial stages, I'd say for the first 60 to 90 days, I was doing something every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just doesn't matter, something. And I can use that to this day, like starting a business. When I was starting Common Goal, I did something every day for the mm-hmm. first 60 to 90 days. And that helps you build that momentum.
Right.
So if you fast forward a little bit here, after a little less than 60 days after being transported to the rehab hospital in Boston, I did run out of the hospital. That was my goal. So I realized that. However, Sophia, it wasn't like my work was done. I had to continue to go to outpatient rehab, mm-hmm. outpatient therapy for another 6 months,
wow.
along with being tutored all summer long, 5 days a week. I know, what eighth grader wouldn't want to get tutored all summer long, 5 days a week?
Yes, let it be me.
Yeah. In order to continue on to high school with the rest of my classmates.
Yeah.
I'd like to take this opportunity to kind of pause and see if you have any questions, because this is a great point in the story. We could like have a little back and forth and
like I'm fascinated by that innate knowing, like that's my terminology of like you're like, okay, it seems to me that you had that intuitive connection already activated before you had the accident. And so like that journey, because like not where you were to getting out in 6 weeks definitely feels to me that it was you tapping into that intuition on a really deep level that kept you, because our bodies naturally want to be in a healthy state. And So you knew that, which I think is amazing innately. And then because you had that inner awareness that you were just going to do it, you allowed that to happen. And like, did you have any conscious awareness of that at the time, or did it just happen? I mean, you were 14, so like 13, 14.
I really, it's so interesting you brought that up, because I really look back at that experience and I'm like people will say to me, "Oh my God, you're so courageous for doing that." And I'm like, I don't thank you. However, I was 14 years old. It was just something that happened to me when I was growing up. So I did it. And I feel like anyone would do that. I say that to this day. I say, yeah, I don't know. It's no big deal. Anyone would do that. And people say to me, no, not Nick, not everyone. Everyone wouldn't do that. Because there was always that option. And to me, I never knew it existed. There's always that option of just saying, oh, okay, well, you're good enough. You had your accident. It's okay if you have a limp, or it's okay if you don't make a full recovery. You're still here. Like, I didn't accept that. I just kept working every day. I got up, whether physically got up or it was just sit up in bed, I would get up and do whatever they said was my next step every day. I would just keep moving forward. And I really think that all this happened, definitely happened for a reason. And ever since then, I've always, this is really interesting that this is coming up. And like you and I were talking earlier, before this, we just want to go wherever the energy takes us with us. All throughout my life, Sophia, since that experience, I've always had the ability to, whenever anyone's going through an accident, whether it be a life challenge, an illness, they had an accident themselves, they had a trauma themselves, anything serious, people always say, oh, you gotta talk to Nick. And I've unknowingly, and I've just done that out of my heart. I've always wanted to help people that are going through trauma get through to the other side and thrive with the rest of their lives. And I've always, no matter what I'm doing, I've always had this voice in the back of my head. This is back to the voice in the back of your head. I've always had this voice in the back of your head, no matter how successful I'm being, and I didn't even go into like my career and what I did with this and what I did with that. That's not important right now for this conversation. Whatever I'm doing doesn't matter. I've always had the voice in the back of my head that's saying, yeah, that's great, but what you really need to be doing is sharing your story from stage, helping people that are going through trauma get through to the other side and to be able to thrive with the rest of their lives. So I've always had that voice. However, back in We hold events a few times a year for our company, and that real estate coaching and training, and we hold events a few times a year. Back in 2019, I spoke at one of those events, and there was someone in the audience who came up to me after, and I share my story, much like I'm doing today, just in a different light. And I shared it back in 2019, and she came up to me and gave me her card and said, Nick, I'm not trying to steal you away from your father. I'm not trying to take you from your dad and your family business. However, if you're looking to fine-tune your message so it's fine-tuned for the most amount of impact to affect and help the most amount of people, I can make some introductions to you and introduce you to a mentor of mine that I've worked with over the years. At that time, I was going through this is all my favorite stuff to talk about. So feel free to interrupt me at any time, but I can talk about that. We can be here for 2 hours. So she gave me her card and told me that.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I was going through a challenge with my voice. Mm-hmm. So back in 2012, the doctors couldn't say for sure, but back in 2012, I had developed an issue with my voice,
mm-hmm.
Where it really just felt like someone was like clenching my muscles.
Oh, wow.
And I like couldn't get the words out,
mm-hmm.
But it didn't hurt. It just, that's what it sounded like. And mm-hmm. Probably even worse than that. I've heard some recordings of myself from back before I started looking for answers and everything. Mm-hmm. But back in 2012, I developed that. And the doctors aren't sure if it was a result of my accident. However, I intuitively know that having my accident made me more susceptible to something like this.
Okay.
Because as I was in real estate, and part of what I would do to kind of pump myself up in the morning before I got on the phone and prospected for like 2 to 4 hours every day.
Oof.
I would, you're supposed to chant your scripts,
mm-hmm.
to really like get your energy up and everything.
Yeah.
However, I always like to take everything to the extreme. And case in point, my accident, as like the whole reason that happened was because I was looking to do like the max
most
you could do. So I interpreted that as, oh, okay, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to scream my scripts, and not only will this get my energy up, but it will really reinforce this in my bones so I know it. Great idea. Terrific idea. So I would do that usually 3 times. I would scream at the top of my lungs my script before getting on the phone. And this was for 6 or 7 months back in 2012. And that I know. And they could never say for sure, but I know that was it.
I knew that was it.
So I had a perfect speaking voice after my accident, and then this thing happened, and then I didn't. So I knew I could get it back.
Mm-hmm.
So really going through the process and going to all these, I finally end up in a voice specialist office in Boston in August of 2013. Walked in the room, heard me speak, and right away nonchalantly goes, oh, that? Yeah, we deal with that all the time. We can get that fixed in no time. Go see the front desk and schedule a Botox injection in a couple weeks.
Wow.
So I had to, from 2013 to 2020, I received Botox injections into my throat.
Wow.
In combination, when my voice was coming back, because I would lose it for like 2 to 3 or 4 weeks. And mm-hmm. when it was coming back, I had to work with their highly trained voice therapist, their mm-hmm. voice specialist, to retrain myself how to speak again.
Wow.
So I had to learn how to talk once after my accident. And this was the second time I was having to learn how to talk. Like, never mind growing up and learning how to talk for the first time. So I had to do that. And really, let me just take some water here.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. I might think more proud of that and overcoming that
mm-hmm.
because it took 7.5 or 8 years to really get that out of my system. Whereas, and I use the exact same principles.
Mm-hmm.
I just kept getting up every day and doing the exercises that they told me to do twice mm-hmm. a day. Every day I would do them. And every principle within step, I use it. And this was even before I developed this step system. Mm-hmm. This is just something I've unconsciously done my whole life.
Yeah.
However, I think I'm more proud of that. There might be some recency bias there, but I think it was kind of proof to me that, all right, you have something here.
Mm-hmm.
And you really have to be sharing it with the world and helping other people that are going through trauma. So around this time, I still had Sharon's card. That's her name. I hung onto her card. I didn't do anything, but I still had to get, I think I had 2 more Botox treatments after that. And it was really interesting because I hung on to her card. So she saw me spoke and then approached me. The next week had a Botox treatment. And then I had really stretched it out to, I would only need them a few times a year. So every 5 or 6 months I would have to get it.
Wow.
However, after that event in 2019, where Sharon saw me speak, right after that, I spoke. That's a lot of adrenaline doing that. And mm-hmm. then I ran in a half marathon.
Ooh.
Right after that, a few weeks after that. So I was drained, if you can imagine. And one of the things about Botox is it so if you do something like that, and if you overexert yourself, you're going to use it up quicker. Like the mm-hmm. body will take that as fuel and you're going to use it up quicker.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so I did that. So in January of 2020, I was like, what the F? I was like, because I could usually go 5 or 6 months or even 7 months without needing another treatment.
Right.
And here I was, less than 3 months later, and I needed another treatment. And mm-hmm. I was like really bent about it. I was like, oh my God, this is so frustrating. I've been at this for almost 8 years and I'm still working at this. And however, the reason I share this, Sophia, is that when you're at your, like, you've been at something for a while and mm-hmm. you've been striving at something for a while and you feel like you're going up against a brick wall and you're not making progress.
Mm-hmm.
That was the last treatment that I ever got. Mm. February 13th of 2020. So coming up on 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know for a fact that it's out of my system. I'm not sure. I can't read your mind. However, I would venture to say, I'd venture to guess, you probably had no idea I had a voice issue back from 2012 to 2020.
No.
So it's out of my system now. And all throughout that, I've always had the voice in the back of my head that says, yeah, that's great. But you really have to be telling your story from stage mm-hmm. and helping others that are going through trauma. So I held on to Sharon's card, and in April or May of 2021, after I knew, okay, I'm done with this, I mm-hmm. don't need another Botox treatment, I reached out to her, Sharon. I gave her a call and said, okay, I'm ready. Even though it was, gosh, almost, a year and a half or 2 years later,
mm-hmm.
I reached out to her and said, I'm ready. She introduced me to her mentor, Trisha, who is now my mentor, Trisha Brooke, out of New York City. And I told Trisha what I was looking to do and what my goals were on that initial call.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, is that possible? And she said, absolutely.
Cool.
And I said, what do you recommend? What do you recommend for me right now that I should do?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, join my speaker salon. And that's where she has a group of speakers commute to New York City for 6 weeks in a row.
Oh, wow.
We got to perform on her stage at the Triad Theater in New York City. And then,
oh, cool.
The 6 weeks. So we craft our talks and, mm-hmm. and work on them. And then this is in the fall of 21. And then the 6 week is when an audience comes in, and it's influencers, people, event organizers, that book speakers, TED organizers for like TEDx events, that kind of thing. So I got to do that and get that exposure. And during that process, she pitched me on the idea of working, what it would look like to work with her one-on-one. And she said she specializes in helping speakers build out their speaker platform so that they're able to reach the most amount of people. And every call with her, I just kept saying yes. And I kept saying yes, yes, yes. And I said, yes, all right, I want to work with you. So mm-hmm. in the first part, probably January to the end of July of 2022, I worked one-on-one with her. And really, as a result of that, I have my whole business, Common Goal.
Wow.
And I've been able to give my keynote talk, which I crafted with her. It's a 60-minute talk. I've been able to deliver it to brain injury associations.
Oh, wow.
And also like the Dysphonia International organization. And that was last year. That's like voice disorders.
Mm-hmm.
Those people help them through their trauma and get through to the other side, because all the way going through that, I found there was so much material out there that said, oh, well, you know, once you have this, you just kind of have it for life and you got to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wouldn't accept that.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept applying the step system. I kept getting up every day and working towards it and doing my exercises. As I said, I kept mm-hmm. getting my Botox treatments, and I got to the point where it's no longer a part of my life. And now, big part is I'm able to help other people that are going through that right now. So,
oh yeah,
that's really it in a nutshell.
That's beautiful. Like I'm like, a couple questions are coming in. Like, I didn't realize that Botox, I mean, it totally makes sense how it would relax the muscles of your vocal cords. But it just, like, you're talking about like getting Botox injections in your voice or here, and it has never occurred to me that that would be such a useful application of it. And so I was just imagining your vocal cords relaxing into the state of happiness with a Botox, and I just like tickle my fancy. And, you know, the fact that you have tuned into your experiences as a way to help others with that innate, like, all of our traumas are actually gifts to help others. Like, when we go through them, how they're gifts to help others on their paths as well. And just the fact that you have heard that for so long and that you didn't waver from that inner knowing is such a gift. And I just want to honor that, because a lot of people don't follow that voice in the back of your head to the degree that you have. And so thank you for that. I just want to honor you for that.
You're very welcome. And one thing, I forgot to close the loop. I opened it. I forgot to close the loop. So since Sharon introduced me to Tricia, there has been no voice in the back of my head.
Really?
What that is evidence of to me is that I'm doing exactly what I've been meant to do,
mm-hmm.
and put on this earth to do, which is help others that are, which is tell my story from stage and help others that are going through trauma, get through to the other side and thrive with the rest of their lives. So there has been no voice in the back of my head since, for gosh, it's coming up on, 3 years ago now.
Wow.
So, I'm really excited about that.
That's
I'm
beautiful. Really
proud to say that. Yeah.
That's really beautiful because like when we follow our paths, like I know when I do body talk sessions, I go into my right brain and I just write out whatever is coming through from the consciousness of the animal I'm working with. I get done and I hear what's happened with the animal after the session. I'm like a kid in a candy shop. I'm so excited because I know I'm doing what I'm called to do. And I feel that in you, that you have this just full awareness, integration of your beingness, of just showing up as you are. And that's, I don't know, that's just joyful to see.
Well, thank you. It's joyful. It's beyond joy to experience, because I know that there is no level of, there is no level of achievement, level of like fame, fortune that will satisfy me like what I'm doing right now. I'm doing, and I know as long as I'm doing that, I'll be taken care of. That's another thing. And that knowing that you talked about, I don't know if I knew what it was back then, but yes, I have had that knowing. I couldn't put my finger, I wouldn't be able to put my finger on even 10 years ago. However, I've always had that.
Yeah. Well, it's a weird thing to quantify.
Yeah.
Because like I my former partner is a mechanical engineer and a hydro engineer, and I like tell him something. He's like, but I want to see the proof. I'm like, I can't prove it. I just know it. I sense it. I feel it. And you know, that's how I live. It's like, if it doesn't feel good, I don't want to do it. But if it feels like, you know, I can feel it in my heart, I can feel the joy, I can feel the inner peace or whatever it is, that's what pushes me forward to the next step. And I think you innately knew that, because like you felt like the whole process of what you've described is like you just feeling that the next step is going to lead you to the next space in your journey. And so you just, you didn't question it, which is amazing.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because I know a lot of people, and I think that's part of your message is like you having that innate trust to just follow the steps. So many people have self-doubt, and I don't feel any of that in you, and I don't feel like you ever had any self-doubt. You just were in that state of being and following the intuition. And that's just such a beautiful example of how to, you are a beautiful example of how to live.
Thank you. I appreciate you saying that. You're actually, you're articulating a lot of the things. So what I went over is just a 10,000 foot view of the step system. And I think you're articulating a lot of the things that I talk about in the step system in step, my ebook. And I wanted to, I was going to save it at the end, but it's so appropriate right now because it's coming up organically that, just a lot of the things you're saying are, that's what I talk about within the ebook. So your listeners, if they go to nickprefontaine.com/step, they can download the step system for free today. And that's going to teach them all about support, trust, energy, and persistence. Like I said, we only had time to cover a 10,000 foot view, but those go into, that goes into detail and how you can apply each one of the letters to your own life and your own situation.
Yeah. Cause it's the journey through, in my experience, is much easier when you have I have never articulated it in that way, the way you put it together, but I see it in my own journey. Like, if I don't have support, if I don't have all the things, nothing goes. It's like I can have one or two of them, but if I'm not taking care of myself, if I'm not persistent, if I'm not all the things, like, it's harder. So you need all four elements to, I don't even want to use this word, but like, I can't come up with another word, to get to that level of success of your journey.
Well, let me just give this a thumbnail sketch for you. So you have to make sure that whatever you're doing, you have to make sure that you have support. So it could be starting a new business, it could be working through a trauma, anything. Mm-hmm. And having a loved one who's sick or dealing with an illness, you have to make sure you line up your support right from the start.
Mm-hmm.
And then as long as you have that support, and that's why these are all equal, and you can't do one without the other. No. So as long as you have that support, you can trust that once you take your first step, your next step is always going to be available to you. And then as long as you're doing that, as long as you're trusting, you have to make sure that you're maintaining your energy, because mm-hmm. without your energy, you're not going to be able to, the next letter, you're not going to be able to use your persistence and keep getting up every day and taking your next step.
Mm-hmm.
So they all work together. You can't overdo one without the others, or because the other ones will suffer. So I'll go to an example for that talk last year, where the Brain Injury Association of Maryland. So I sent them, I outlined what I wanted to do and sent them my talk and sent them a recording of me delivering the talk, albeit a 35-minute version.
Mm-hmm.
I sent them that recording of me giving a 35-minute talk at our conference that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first time I delivered the keynote. It was 35 minutes. So I made the application and in end of October, beginning of November, had a call with them. They said, we absolutely want you to be part of our event, negotiate a little bit, went back and forth. And they said, all right, great. We're all set. We look forward to having you at our event in March 23rd. I thought in my head the whole time for the next 2 months, 2+ months that, oh, okay, I'm just going to show up and give the same 35-minute talk. I found out at the beginning of January, they go, no, so I was looking through my contract that I signed with them and sent mm-hmm. back. And I said, hey, you guys can give away that extra time. I see you have me down for 75 minutes. My talk's only 35 minutes. No, I mean, you can sell that, do what you want with it. They go, no, if you want to check the contract that you signed, it's 75 minutes. So it's a 60-minute presentation followed by 15 minutes of Q&A.
Oh.
So I was just like, that's one of those moments. Yeah, exactly. That's one of those moments where you just take a deep breath and just say, okay, all right, I'll be ready. So that's what I did. I never had doubt that I couldn't do it. I was just mm-hmm. like, well, I sent you my talk and you said you wanted it. It's 35 minutes. now you want me to give 60? And they said, yeah, I was talking to my dad about it. And I said, it's like double. They want me to do double. Mm-hmm. And my dad's like, no, it's only 25 minutes more than what you did. It's not a big deal. You'll be fine. You can do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those moments where you just, again, you take a deep breath and you mm-hmm. just do it. And doing it, I had so much fun, because I was able to add in more stories mm-hmm. and more humor and mm-hmm. more experiences from the accident and have audience participation, which I didn't have before. So, I mean, I had a lot of fun doing it.
That's awesome.
Now I have that forever. I can use that forever with any organization.
And you had 2 months between the time you learned and the time you had to give it. So at least it wasn't like the day before.
Yeah, then it would have been a different preparation. But definitely. A little bit.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, just
thank you.
Having that openness to pivot, I guess is a good word to use it, of like, oh, this is what it was, but now I get to expand into something that's a little out of my comfort zone, but I'm going to do it anyways because I know it's for a greater good. That's a beautiful gift.
Thank you. And it's a great thing that I talk about with the people that are on my list, is that I say life doesn't give you opportunities when you feel like you're ready. Life gives you opportunities when you are ready.
That is so true. That is so true. Yeah, because like, you know, our small selves, the ego, it's like, well, just like another 2 weeks and I'll be ready, or another thing and I'll be ready. Like for my own expansion, I reached out to the Oregon State University's veterinary college, because I want to tell students about quantum healing. That is not anything like my small little self is like, are you kidding? You're going to talk to students about body talk. Okay, that's really, really amusing. It has nothing to do with me. Like really, like it was a piece of, you need to reach out to OSU's veterinary college, because what you have is going to help them with animals. And so I'm writing the lecture that I'm going to be giving, because I already feel what's going to happen. And so if it's a discomfort to me, because I'm an introvert, even though I have taught before, like I'm an introvert, to get out of that space of the small self that's like, well, that doesn't feel comfortable, to the, yeah, but you can already feel what's the ripple effects of that. You already knew, like, that's why you started the process of like being a speaker, is like, you knew that whatever you had within you was important for people to hear. And so you just let it flow. And that's an inspiration.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. I remember that day, March 23rd of 2023, getting up to my room after I delivered the talk, and I got through 60 minutes to the talk, and I was going, and I looked at my watch and I was like, oh, 55 minutes have gone by. I better wrap this up. I better like get to my clothes. And I did it. There was like a lot of applause, but then the I'm just trying to give you and the listeners context. The extra 15 minutes that they said, no, you need to do 75 minutes. That 15 minutes was for a Q&A. And my talk was, I was a closing day one keynote speaker. So it was the end of a day on a Thursday. Everyone kind of, like, they enjoyed it. But
yeah,
they're like, all right, well, we got to hit the road here.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got to fight traffic and everything. So, I didn't, and this is pretty much anytime I deliver that keynote is, I usually don't have any questions. I kind of cover a lot of material in it.
Right.
So, I guess that's a good thing. But I got out to my room and I just took a deep breath. And I remember calling Trisha and just saying, I really feel like I can do anything, mm-hmm. because this was something that I was, I don't want to say nervous about, but I was like, I've never done that
mm-hmm.
before. So I don't know if I can do it, but I've never. Right. So To finish it and complete the cycle and do it and get the response that I did, I really felt that it was definitely for the greater good.
Nick, it is.
That, you know what? That is just what I was thinking. I was like, I feel good about that.
I do too. It's so beautiful. And I'm just so grateful for this opportunity to have a conversation with you, to get to know you and to hear your story. And I'm so grateful for you stepping into your work in the world, because that is such a gift. And I just honor you for that in so many ways.
I receive that. I receive that. Thank you. And for those of you that that can't see us, I'm seriously, like, with love, I'm receiving that, because prior to starting this journey in May of 21, prior to starting the journey, I would always, whenever anyone would, the reason I share this is because a lot of people can relate to this, is that whenever someone would compliment me, I would always be like, oh yeah, it's no big deal. And I would deflect, and I would deflect, and I deflect. Now I've learned to, which I think is a good lesson for everyone. When people give you a compliment, just say thank you. Take it. And that's why I really like let it wash over me. And there was a pause there, and I was like, thank you. I really feel that. And that means a lot.
Welcome. You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk with you, and your listeners got to listen in, I guess.
Yep. Have a beautiful rest of your day, my friend.
You too. It was awesome.
Can you help me redefine truth and preservation of our soul shine? I can feel it, yours and mine. Close your eyes and witness it inside. In your bones, you will know. Trust and let go.